So I'm going to admit that up until about 2 hours ago, I had absolutely no clue that cats and dogs can get diabetes just like humans. I honestly didn't know that. My producer has certainly taught me a thing or two this afternoon, and I'm told that while it may sound scary, apparently early detection and proper care can mean that your furry friend can still lead a happy and healthy life. Here to talk to us about how to spot diabetes in pets and what we can do to help manage it is Dr. Taryn Dent from Zotus South Africa. Taryn, thank you for chatting to me this afternoon.
Hi, Simon. Thank you for having me. And if it makes you feel any better, you're definitely not alone in people that didn't realize that dogs and cats can also get diabetes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually going a little red in the face. Luckily, this is radio and not TV. But talk to me about that, because I reckon most people do think of diabetes as a human condition. Just how common is it in pets?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's also quite daunting when pet owners may hear that, you know, their dog or cat has diabetes. But, you know, it's more common than I think we think. In dogs, the latest stats are somewhere around one in every 308 dogs should develop the disease. And female dogs are actually more at risk. When you look at cats, that's where we see the statistics are a little bit higher. It's more in one in 230 cats. And we also find in neutered cats, they actually have a higher risk of getting the disease. So it's not as uncommon as people may think.
Does it reflect the same types of diabetes that humans suffer from in terms of type 1, type 2, i.e. genetic or food-induced? What kind of diabetes do they suffer from?
Yeah, and I think that's the key. So very similarly, like you get in humans, in terms of how glucose is managed in the body, it's very similar in pets. So essentially what happens is when your pet eats, the food gets digested and that gets released or releases glucose within your system. And glucose is essentially what our cells use for energy. So basically the act of eating triggers your pancreas, which is an organ in your body, to start producing insulin. And that's a hormone that binds to special receptors in your cells. And it kind of like, I like equating it to like a key. It's a key that allows glucose to enter your cells, and then it can be used for energy. So, you know, something goes wrong in that mechanism, and that's either reflected in diabetes 1 or diabetes 2. Would you like me to elaborate a little bit?
No, because I'm not a medical show. I just want to understand the broader picture of it. What I want to understand, though, is what does this say about dog and cat food? Are we poisoning our own animals?
Oh, wow. Sure. Simon, right there. Hey, you're going straight in.
For the jugular.
Straight for the jugular. No, I think there's different things that could contribute. Definitely diet, exercise, there's genetics, obesity, those types of things could definitely make an animal more prone to those types of things. Food does play a role. I mean, I wouldn't suggest that any food we're giving is causing that, but it definitely can play a role if there's a bit of a genetic predisposition or something else that's going on there. So high quality food is probably, you know, the way to go, but I suppose I'm a little bit biased being a veterinarian, as a full disclaimer.
No, fair enough. And I'm just thinking, you know, about that kind old uncle or aunt who visit to keep on feeding the dog, I don't know, sweets and chocolates and bread or whatever it is on their plates. I mean, should that be stopped?
Yeah, well, I think treats in general are probably not good for your dogs. I mean, you know, specific pet treats are definitely better and more recommended. But, you know, I must also admit that every now and then they get something off the table. So it is hard to control, but definitely isn't good for them in terms of weight management, not specifically diabetes, you know, but definitely in terms of weight management, those types of things are very fatty for dogs. And if they're not utilizing that energy properly, we do see a lot of overweight pets. That's a whole talk on its own.
No, for sure. I mean, I get that. I'm just wondering, so I think my dog's got diabetes, or I don't have a clue he's actually got diabetes. What are the signs that would alert me to the fact that maybe something's wrong?
Yeah, you definitely could be seeing subtle changes. So while the glucose is not being properly regulated in the body, certain more serious complications could occur, like you might start seeing blindness, organ failure, that type of thing.
Boy,
but that's more serious.
Yeah.
So Yeah, the more subtle changes that you could pick up, but I mean, you see this over time, is like maybe your dog or cat's weak or tired because, again, they don't have the energy, they don't have the glucose that they're utilizing in their body. Drinking a lot more, that's a very classic symptom. And with the drinking, obviously, frequent urination as well, so weeing a lot. Increased appetite with no weight gain, that's also what you can see. And then, yeah, just in general, weight loss could be one of the common signs that you would see.
Taryn, tell me something. That's yes. So interesting and remarkably similar to people, I suppose, as well. So same symptoms. If somebody is worried, how difficult are the tests or checks that need to be done to ascertain existence of the disease?
I think when we equate diabetes, we think of humans. And when you hear about diabetes, you're thinking, oh my word, all these terrible side effects and it's not controllable. And I think it can be very daunting for a pet owner. So just to maybe give people some insights, it's really a really manageable thing. So if you see any of those signs, like I always recommend annual health checks anyway, but if you see any of those signs and you'd like to get it checked out, you know, the veterinarian would maybe take generally blood or urine. To be able to, or both actually, to be able to diagnose it, maybe send some blood away, x-rays, ultrasounds, that type of thing of the organs may be required. But in general, you know, blood and clinical signs and the urine would give you a strong indicator of that.
So interesting.
And then you can manage it.
It's so interesting you say it's so manageable because, I mean, I've seen people with diabetes and having to inject yourself every so often is difficult. It's certainly manageable, but it's not easy. And now you've got to do it with a pet. I would imagine it's much more difficult. Or am I wrong?
No, it definitely does require some changes in your routine. So I think when we think about humans, you know, that's like a really strong regulation of that glucose within a certain range. When we talk about dogs and cats, there's a range where you want to keep it, that it's not too high, it's not too low, and you almost want to manage it within that spectrum. So it's not like it requires you know, that massive monitoring that you would require. But I mean, things like exercise, diet is definitely key, changing the diet, stress, like things that would upset your glucose, and regular testing at home. And yes, exactly like you were alluding to, like injections that could be required just to manage the glucose levels once or twice a day, depending on what they're using. But yes, I mean, you just got to factor that in if you're going away. I mean, I understand there is some, you know, it definitely messes with your routine a bit, but I don't want people to be put off with those types of things because it is manageable.
It's fascinating that you refer to diet, exercise, and stress. I mean, those are the exact same things that will help you as a human control it. So I suppose it makes perfect sense that it would in the case of an animal as well. I'm just thinking, you know, it's this killing with kindness. It's such a problem. It's such a problem. Yeah. You think you're being kind to your animal, but back at the ranch, you're actually doing them a complete disservice. I guess my final question for you this afternoon would be, what would you say to pet owners who are feeling completely overwhelmed after a diagnosis of diabetes?
Oh, great question. Great question. So, obviously, there's a lot of resources online, but I would always refer people to their veterinarian. So they've often got nurses, very equipped vets that have diagnosed it. You can talk them through some of your concerns. They will help you possibly with at-home testing, talk you through that process, the injection process, really hold your hand through that process. I think the initial part is quite overwhelming. I think just then have that discussion, discuss your concerns, and don't be, you know, put off and wanting to jump to like euthanasia, for example, rather just work with your veterinarian. Yeah, and you can even test the blood glucose levels at home very easily and work with them in terms of adjusting the doses at home. And there's lots of different things, but it does require quite a close working relationship with your veterinarian. And they are so equipped and to be able to handle these things. Even, you know, they've got nurses on hand as well, and I think all of that will just help you through the process. And we see once pet owners are doing at-home glucose monitoring and injecting, after they get through that first little bit, they're more comfortable doing it.
Dr. Taryn Dent, that was a fascinating discussion. I learned a ton. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Simon. Have a great day.